What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. Welcome back to another episode of the Sexology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali. And today we're going to talk about sexual pain, pleasure, and the cutting-edge science that's rewriting everything you thought we knew about the vulva. And guiding us through this world is a woman whose work is transforming the field from the inside out. Dr. Elisa Yi is a sexual medicine physician and reconstructive urologist who trained with the iconic Dr. Irvin Goldstein at San Diego Sexual Medicine, essentially the epicenter of innovation in sexual health. Her passion for patient care began long before medical school, shaped by her work with the Crime Victim Treatment Center of New York. She's a proud New Yorker, a SUNY Downstate graduate, and an amazing urologist and surgeon. If you ever wondered why sexual pain happens, why it's so often dismissed, or what real solutions look like, this episode is your roadmap. Dr. Yi's insight will change how you understand the vulva, pain, pleasure, and the future of sexual medicine. But before we dive in, I need to put something delicious on your radar, because your podcast lineup is about to get seriously filthy. I'm talking about our sponsor, Filthy MILFs. Meet Filthy MILFs, the completely uncensored, unspoken, dirty-minded new podcast hosted by the two of the most adventurous MILFs on the block, Ellen Onsui and Sophie Levine. These two are delivering the kind of sexual wellness conversations we wish more people were brave enough to have. They're talking sex, women's health, aging, body image, relationship, self-confidence, and all the fun, spicy, strange, beautiful, and downright wild part of their sex life as a woman with lived experience. But here's the best part. Filthy MILFs isn't just for women of a certain age. If you're in your 20s, 40s, 60s, if you have a libido, body, a curiosity, or just want to feel more connected to your pleasure, you're going to take something away from these conversations. Ellen and Sophie bring you insight from sexologist, hormone therapy specialist, and world-class sexual health experts, mixed with intimate, unfiltered conversations with filmmakers, authors, sex workers, swingers, and more. It's smart, it's filthy, it's hilarious. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and you may even discover something new about your own sexuality. Listen to Filthy MILFs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And for even more filthy goodness, check them out on Subtract at Filthy MILFs. Now, let's dive into today's conversation with Dr. Elisa Yi. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Dr. Elisa Yi. Dr. Yi, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am excited for this conversation. I learned about your wonderful work from a nonprofit that you're part of, and I attended a few of their meetings and their educational content called Tight Lip. Can you tell us a little bit about it and how you got engaged, connected with them?
Yes, Tight-Lipped is a patient advocacy nonprofit that is run, organized by patients and patient advocates, really to expand the awareness around vulvovaginal pain and disorders that might contribute to that. So it's been an incredible experience working with Tight-Lipped on their medical advisory board. I am somebody who has been working with patients with pain for a very long time. I've also been a patient. So I really think that patient advocacy has been built into my work, my career, and my practice for a very long time. And when I encountered tight-lipped, I was really blown away with how much patient advocates and patient stories specifically were so powerful to be able to influence medicine, awareness, and change the way that we do things in medical practice. So it's been incredible working with them.
I'm so grateful for the advocacy work that they do. And they people, I know many providers that are part of this nonprofit, they talk about their own experiences of being a patient. And I know I talk about my experience in this episodes and this podcast around painful intercourse, like pain that I was experiencing like many years ago. And it can really impact your quality of life. When people think about sexual functioning issues, they think about, okay, maybe sex is not as great, but it can impact your sense of identity. It can impact your confidence. And I feel in our society, it's in a way, it's normal. People normalize pain during sex for women. So it is unfortunately a common experience. I know a statistic around that can be alarming, that how many people experience painful intercourse and they just muscle through it. So can you tell us a little bit about, for our male audience, so people are not familiar with it, what is vulvovaginal pain and how common it is?
Yeah, sure. I think it is far more common than patients or people recognize. So even my patients who come to see me and talk about pain in the vulva, pain in their vaginal canal, pain in their pelvis, pain with intercourse or any sexual activity or even non-sexual activity, they often feel like they're the only person who has these symptoms because it's just so underreported or not talked about amongst friends. There's a lot of stigma and shame. And certainly when some of my patients have gone to see multiple providers and have been told things like that are minimizing or saying that, okay, it's in your head, it's not actually a physical condition, even though it very much is, then they start to doubt whether or not the pain is really there. And they become reluctant to talk about it, to discuss it, and maybe even to seek further help. So for partners who don't have a vulva, there is very little research out there. There's very little standardized education, if any, on vulvar pain symptoms, conditions that might cause it. And so people with vulvas are not getting the help that they need. And so it can feel incredibly isolating to have these symptoms and conditions and to be told by medical professional after medical professional that they just don't see anything that's there, that's wrong. So it can feel extremely lonely.
Well, it is very, can be very traumatizing. I'm thinking about my own experience that the feedback I got from professional one told me your partner is probably too big. Like not assessing like what was happening. The other person was saying that just have a couple glasses of wine and get out of your mind, which like now as a sex therapist, I'm thinking it's like in a way opposite, right? Because you don't want to override your pain response and numb yourself pretty much for sex. And many people say it's psychological. It could be. And sometimes when you feel like you're getting gaslighted after a while, it can be a kind of psychological component to it, but it is very real. The pain people feel is very real. So what are some of the presentation you see? Do people feel pain when their partner touched their vulva? Is it upon intercourse? What are some of the different variation that you see?
Yeah, I see a lot of entrance pain. So at the entrance of the vulva, maybe at the beginning of insertion of anything is where it might feel uncomfortable. It could feel like burning, stinging. Some people describe shards of glass, tearing, all kinds of very alarming, sharp pains. Some people feel achiness. Some people feel pressure. Some people describe it as a wall that just cannot be passed through. And I specifically treat patients who have something called vestibulodynia. That's a long word that really just means pain in the vestibule. And so while people are learning more and more about the word vulva, they may have not heard the word vestibule. And it's a specific part of the vulva that exists between the labia minora, and it goes from below the clitoris and includes the opening to the urethra, like the urinary opening, and it circles around the vaginal opening. And it can even include the bottom part of the opening called the posterior fourchette, but that's often a place where people feel pain. And so that tissue is highly sensitive to hormones as well as inflammatory disorders. So it could be any number of conditions that causes pain at the entrance. It might not even be sexual pain. It could be just pain with trying to insert a tampon. There's so many things that could be eliciting pain symptoms in patients with vestibulodynia.
And that makes sense that many of my clients in perimenopause, menopause years, because of changes in the hormone, they start experiencing pain in the area. And one thing that's very interesting that when people communicate that with a partner, sometimes the partner feels they're just like making excuses. They say like, you know, I don't see it. So I have many times in couples therapy when I talk about it, like your partner reporting this, they say, oh, I don't see it. She's making it up, which in reality comes from women learning to mask the pain because they want to feel that they're not enjoying sex. They're trying to protect their partner. And the enduring pain, and the more you endure pain, that reduces your sexual responsiveness, right? It just creates this negative conditioning. So you talked about kind of like inflammation could be one of the reasons. The other one is hormonal challenges. What else can create these painful experiences?
Sure, yeah. Some people do actually have nerve problems, and that can be deeper in the pelvis. It could be, interestingly, a disorder of veins in the pelvis called pelvic venous disorders the veins are highly associated to the nerves, the small nerves in the pelvis and the vulva. And at times, pelvic venous disorders, allowing pooling of the blood, dilation of the veins, can then also cause a local neuropathy or abnormal nerve sensation, which can also manifest in the vulva as pain or discomfort. Or even after sex discomfort, not necessarily during intercourse or sexual activity, but after as well.
That is interesting that after sex, they might experience pain. What causes it? Is it because of the friction? Is it because of the hormonal change? What caused that pain?
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, it could be any of the things we've talked about so far, the hormonal changes, inflammatory conditions, or it could be a combination of both. I often see that. Or the pelvic venous disorder also can cause symptoms that occur after arousal, presumably more blood flow during arousal to the genitals and the vulva and pooling of that blood in the pelvic veins. So that is just one aspect of it. There's also a ton of symptoms associated with endometriosis that is not discussed in the general education for doctors and providers. So it could be any number of things.
For our audience that they're not familiar with endometriosis, can you tell us what is that?
Sure. I see a ton of it in practice, and I have a lot of colleagues who are absolutely experts in this. I can basically just describe it as tissue that should not be in the pelvis or on other organs that does exist. And it's not necessarily a cancer, but it is a tissue that should not be there that can grow anywhere on the uterus. On the outside, it can grow inside the uterus, which is often called adenomyosis. It can be on the surface of the bladder. It can be internally in the bladder, on the ovaries, on the fallopian tubes. It can be even on the bowel, so the rectum, and it causes inflammation, pain, and sometimes causes organs in the pelvis to stick together. I think the word endometriosis came from a kind of a misnomer of this tissue being thought to be the lining of the uterus that escaped the uterus. But we know now that that's not what the tissue is. It's just abnormal tissue.
It's interesting that with pain during intercourse and also endometriosis, different types of pain, the diagnosis, like usually people go to several providers before getting a correct diagnosis. Where is that coming from?
So yes, on average, people with endometriosis have symptoms for 7 to 10 years before they get diagnosed. That's just wild if you think about it. Having symptoms and perhaps being told that that's normal I also think there's a huge gap in education around endometriosis for medical providers. I have seen so many patients who have endometriosis seek care, and they were told, well, if you don't have very painful periods that's debilitating, then you don't have endometriosis. And we know that that's not the case. Endometriosis can present without super painful periods or even without heavy bleeding. And sometimes the only sign is actually infertility. Sometimes the only sign may be GI problems like severe constipation or having bloating that especially is cyclical, doesn't have to be during the period, but it could be cyclical and worse at specific times. And yes, pain with sex is one of the symptoms that can exist.
Well, it's just so disheartening for many women that thinking about kind of like when they go to the doctor, maybe even that can be invalidating experiences, and the partner might not believing them or not trusting the level of the pain they're experiencing because they're thinking about it's all in her head or it's in her mind. For partners that they want to support their vulva owner partner, what are some of the things you recommend them to do?
Absolutely believe them. First of all, when someone is telling you that there's pain or abnormal sensations there, even if they've seen other providers who said, no, I don't see anything, believe them and really advocate for them. Maybe go with them to some of their appointments and be a support so that when they are meeting questions or like maybe they're being invalidated, to be there to support them and say, yeah, actually, I live with this person. I know this person. I see them in pain and discomfort. Like, this is a very real thing. So definitely being your partner's support person and advocate is huge. But just it starts with believing them and allowing them to lead the way with what they feel comfortable with instead of sort of maybe expecting, as many people do, expect patients to kind of overcome the pain or kind of push it down or like put it second. Just allow them to lead the way with what they feel okay with and when they aren't feeling okay.
I love that, kind of like going there to support your partner. And like sometimes it can be intimidating for some people to advocate themselves in the medical kind of offices. And I think having the second person there that can help you with kind of like advocating for yourself and the care that you need. As you mentioned, there could be a number of different reasons that someone might experience pain during intercourse or in their vulva area. Are they treatable? Is it something that people can be able to completely get rid of it? Is it more about management? Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Many of the conditions that we kind of touched base on, so some of the hormonal conditions, are incredibly treatable. We have guidelines for treatment, particularly in perimenopause and menopause. The brand new American Urological Association 2025 Genitourinary Syndrome of Menopause guidelines give very clear help and specific instructions on how to treat this kind of pain that is hormonally driven. But I really hope that their providers will start to understand that even before menopause, even before perimenopause, certain hormonal disruptions can influence vestibular pain in premenopausal patients, and they also benefit from topical hormones to the vestibule. And I have seen so much success with that in my own practice, as I wish that more people got that training. Yeah. So absolutely that. Endometriosis is treatable. There are many experts out there, but it's not standardized. And so I would love for there to be more discussion and more exposure talking about the differences in treatments available and allowing patients to kind of seek expert management and expert care where they can really get the full options range and then decide for themselves what's best for them. But yeah, that starts with education being standardized.
And I can imagine the revolution it can possibly create in a vulva owner's life. Like if you're following the protocol and then all of a sudden you don't have pain. Right. I think it can really change their quality of their life and confidence, because many people think that is something that they have to live with. And I know some chronic pain conditions are something that you learn to manage, but again, management also, it doesn't mean like you have to muscle through it. Like, I don't think that's also something productive. So for people that are kind of like they want to support their partner in this journey, their partner feel defeated, How can they figure out who could be a good fit for supporting them? Maybe they went to the one physician and they didn't get the care they want. How can people find resources?
Sure. I think a good place to start is there's a directory of providers on the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. So ISWISH is a mouthful, but they have a website and they have a directory of providers who have registered with the society, who have basic education around this and who met certain criteria. So those are good ways to find someone who is more aware of these kinds of things. Tight-lipped is really great for patients to get more stories and information. And there are a lot of resources that Tight-lipped has access to. I think getting involved with that is huge. And also just listening to the podcast Tight-lipped is incredibly helpful for a lot of people to not feel so alone in this journey. So those are great. Yeah, we are actually actively working on improving curricula and education for future gynecologists with Tight-lipped. So that's all in the works and it's very exciting.
That is incredible. I think kind of knowing that there are other people struggling with it, and I know what I like about Tight-lipped people, educated people, people are all walks of life to talk about their lived experiences. And I know colleagues that they are also therapists that they felt they were not getting the care they wanted and struggle with the pain during sex for years before they find the support they need. So I think knowing that you deserve to have good sex life, this is something that's treatable, that can be very, very helpful and empowering. And listening to the Tight-lipped podcast can also be another resource. Anything else before we close our conversation? Anything else that you want the partners to know or look into before we conclude our conversation?
Yeah, I think it's really is such an important role the partner plays in all of this. When someone with a vulva is going through pain and having difficulty just living life, sometimes it's non-sexual pain, sometimes it's sexual pain. Just know that your input, your support means so much to validate their feelings, to validate their experience. And that is so key in the road to recovery. Because if you feel alone, if you feel like there's no hope and no one believes you, it's so much harder to continue trying to get better. So as a partner, if you can support them on their journey, oftentimes you will be a huge source of relief and they will get better with help and with your support.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for that encouragement. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us and volunteering your time at Tight-lipped. And if people are interested to learn more about the resources you mentioned, they can find it in the show notes. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Sexual pain is far more common than most people realize. And yet it remains one of the most silently endured experiences in women's lives. I see it every week in my practice. Women who have been dismissed, misdiagnosed, or told to just relax, carrying years of pain that should have been taken seriously from the very beginning. This is why I feel so passionate about supporting women who struggle with sexual pain. You deserve answers, you deserve relief, and you deserve a provider who understands the complexity of desire, the body, and the nervous system, not just the symptoms. And on a personal note, something beautiful has happened in my own practice. For the first time in a very long time, I've graduated several couples altogether who have completed their work and they healed and stepped into a new chapter of intimacy and connection together. Because of that, I now have few rare openings for new clients. If you've been dealing with painful sex, low desire, or disconnection, and you're ready for expert, compassionate, evidence-based support, I would be honored to work with you. Book an appointment with me using the link in the show notes. You don't have to navigate this alone. Healing is possible. I start by taking the first step. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll chat with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.